Good morning. If you'd like to open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, the book of Proverbs is a guide that God has given us to attaining wisdom. It gives us some important characteristics of the wise person. And it is to this end that we desire to please God and when we study His Word and how it helps us understand life. Wise people, according to 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, are wise unto salvation. Jesus Christ, in Colossians 2 and in 1 Corinthians 1, is the wisdom of God. And so, these are keys that the writer of Proverbs gives us. These are keys to the good life. The life that is pleasing to God. Any life that is not pleasing to God cannot be identified as the good life. The wisest thing, though, that a person can ever do is to put his trust in Christ and to live in obedience to Him all the days of his life. So this morning, we're going to look at some characteristics of the wise, and then the next lesson, we'll look at characteristics of the wicked. The first point is that wise people listen to wise instruction. Wise people listen to wise instruction. And that especially applies to listening to the Word of God. In chapter 1 of Proverbs, in verse 5, it says, "A wise man will hear and increase in learning. A man of understanding will acquire wise counsel." In Proverbs 22, beginning in verse 17, Proverbs 22 and verse 17, it says, "Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your mind to my knowledge. For it will be pleasant if you keep them within you, that they may be ready on your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have taught you today, even you. Have I not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge, to make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may correctly answer to him who sent you?" Wise instruction is one of the things that identifies a wise man. In Mark 4 and verse 24, Jesus says to take care what you listen to. Then in Luke 8 and verse 18, he says, take care how you listen. So it's just not a matter of what you're listening to, which is essential, but how are you listening to it? To what end are you listening? In Proverbs 19 and verse 27, Proverbs 19 and 27 says, "Cease listening, my son, to discipline, and you will stray from the words of knowledge." So if you stop listening to what you should be listening to, you're going to end up wandering off and stray from it. Proverbs 23 and verse 23. The writer says, "Buy the truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding." What this means to us is that we must diligently spend time studying God's Word. We need to spend time appropriating the truth, His truth, in our hearts and then seeking to obey the truth and what it is. God speaks through His Word and teaches us wisdom through the words that have been preserved from Him for our edification and for our learning. Wise people do not spend time listening to foolishness and to lies. Wise people do not do that. But it seems as though that we live, and I think it's always been so, that the people are torn. And they end up listening to the wrong things in the wrong way. What wise people do is that they diligently keep the trash out, in other words. Chapter 4 and verse 23 says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life." Your heart. Guard your heart. Watch over it. Keep it. It's yours. Don't give it away. Understand that God has given you a heart that we are to guard all the days of our life and to keep the trash out. It's important for us. Those who are wise also profit from rebuke. That when somebody corrects them, wise people listen. Chapter 9, verses 8 and 9 says, "Reprove a wise man and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase his learning." So, we need to get to the point where we are seeking wisdom and we'll listen to correction and to discipline. In Proverbs 10 and verse 17, "A wise man is on the path of life, and on the path of life he heeds instruction." He listens to the instruction. In chapter 17 and verse 10, Proverbs 17 and 10 says, "A rebuke goes deeper into one who has understanding than 100 blows into a fool." And that's going to be the contrast. It's the difference between the wise and the foolish. The difference between the wise and the wicked. Wise people profit from advice. Chapter 13 and verse 10 says, "With those who receive counsel is wisdom." Chapter 12 and verse 15 says, "A wise man is he who listens to counsel." To me, that is one of the underlying things that we forget. That God has gone to the trouble of keeping things that for us that we need that are going to help make us wise and to understand. And we are to listen to counsel of those that are wise, particularly of what God says. But it seems as though over and over again that we are told what the wisdom is, and yet we ignore it completely. It's as though the only thing that counts is I've got to experience it myself before I start believing it. Well, the reason Proverbs is written and the Bible is written so we don't have to experience some things ourselves. So we can learn what God has said and learn from it and live the way He would have us to. But it seems as though unless we experience something ourselves, we disregard the wisdom that has been given to us. We can't afford to do that. In chapter 19 and verse 20, it says, "Listen to the counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days." Wise people do not think so highly of themselves that they can't learn from others. But oftentimes what we do, we scoff at things that other people tell us. Chapter 3 and verse 7. Proverbs 3 and verse 7 says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." Turn away from it. Not experiment with it and then turn away. It says turn away from evil. Chapter 26 and verse 12 says, "Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him." If we're wise in our own eyes, we will not be wise in God's eyes. And that's what matters. A second thing is that wise people fear the Lord. Wise people fear the Lord. The passage that we just read, chapter 3 and verse 7 says that, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." Okay, if we fear the Lord, we're going to understand what He's told us about evil and we're going to stay away from evil. The two go together. In chapter 1 and verse 7 a passage that we've read before, says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. God becomes the center of everything. We fear God. We honor Him. We hold Him in reverence. It is with awe that we go before Him and we learn what He has said to us. It means respecting Him. And when you respect Him, you obey His will. And we seek then through our obedience and the things that we do to honor His name. To honor the name of God. In the book of Psalms, chapter 2 and verse 11, the psalmist writes, "Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling." Worship Him with reverence. In other words, with awe and with fear. Chapter 14 of Proverbs in verse 27 says, "The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life." And that's that one may avoid the snares of death. Chapter 19 and verse 23 says, "The fear of the Lord leads to life." That is life, real life. The fear of the Lord leads to that. The fear of the Lord. In the fear of the Lord, there is also strong confidence. This is chapter 14 and verse 26. "And in Him, His children will take refuge." In Proverbs 23 and verse 17 and 18, it says, "Do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off." Again, fear of the Lord. It is a constant theme that runs through the book. Chapter 10 and verse 27 says, "The fear of the Lord prolongs life." In chapter 15 and verse 16 says, "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than a great treasure." The fear of the Lord. We can't live the way that we're supposed to without God being the center of our lives. In chapter 8 and verse 13, the writer of Proverbs is telling us here to steer clear of evil. Stay away from it. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogance, and the evil way. Hate evil. That's what God hates, is evil. We must learn to hate the same things that God hates. And the only way we know what God hates is that God tells us. Is that not so? Chapter 15 and verse 16, we read about the fear and treasure, and how the fear of the Lord is better. Chapter 16 and verse 6, "By loving kindness and truth, iniquity is gone away from us." And in the fear of the Lord, one keeps his heart from evil. Chapter 14 and verse 2 says, "He who walls in the righteousness fears the Lord, but he who is crooked in his ways despises them." The description of wise people and how wise people are supposed to live. A third thing is that wise people associate with wise people. As wise people associate with wise people. Therefore, it behooves us to understand what wise people are and what do wise people look like. And how do you determine? And that's what the book of Proverbs tries to help us understand, what we're looking for in people who are wise. In Proverbs 13 and verse 20, it says, "He who walks with the wise men will be wise." You walk with the wise, not with the arrogant, not with the proud, not with the haughty, but you walk with the wise. In chapter 12 and verse 26, "The righteous is a guide to his neighbor." The righteous, the guide to his neighbor. You associate with people. That's why we talk so much about the kind of people you associate with. Why we talk to young people about their friends. Why we try to steer them away from those that will lead them down the path of evil. And that's up to us, folks, as parents, to teach them and to guide them and to tell them. That's our job. It's not the job of our kids. It's our job to do that. And we cannot shy away from that. A fourth thing is that wise people preserve what they have gained and they use it. Wise people preserve what they have gained and they use it. Chapter 10 and verse 14 says, wise men store up knowledge. Chapter 12 and verse 27 says, a slothful man does not roast his prey, but the precious possession of a man is diligence. They preserve and they keep the wisdom that they have. They use it in order to be more like what God intends for us to be. The fifth thing is that wise people flee from sin. Wise people flee from sin. Probably most of us know what sin looks like. The question is that when we see it, do we run from it or do we embrace it? Well, the wise, they run from it. And it seems as though it is so hard for us to learn that lesson because we get sucked in. And once we get sucked in, it's hard to pull ourselves out. But in the first place, if what we would do is if we would run from it, then we would avoid that. Wise people flee from sin. Chapter 14 and verse 16 says, a wise man is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless. So what are you? Wise or foolish? Chapter 8 and verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Do we hate evil? Then over in Psalms 97 and verse 10, the psalmist writes, hate evil, you who love the Lord. So that's one of the characteristics of those who love the Lord, is that they hate evil. They go hand in hand. You can't claim to love the Lord and embrace evil. You must avoid it. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, Paul says to us, abhor what is evil, cling to that which is good. So in order to do that, you must know what evil is. You must know what good is. That's what the writer in Proverbs is trying to tell us. What good is. A self-confident person is not always wise. They get overconfident and then they make foolish mistakes. They're not thorough any longer. Remember the battle, the first battle of Ai in the book of Joshua? They really didn't do their homework and didn't do the preparation of what was in the camp. Because God told them that there's sin in the camp and you need to fix it. See, they had already had this great victory at Jericho. And their confidence was running pretty high. But yet one man and his sin caused them to lose the first battle of Ai. In Judges 16 and verse 20, talking about Samson, he said, I will go out as other times and shake myself free from the bonds that they bound him with. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. You know, he was just as confident that he could do the same thing again he did before. But he didn't realize that the relationship he had with God had been damaged. And he needed to go back and he needed to correct that. In Luke chapter 22, in verses 33 and 34... Peter said to Jesus, Lord, with you I am ready to go both to prison and to death. Peter, his confidence was running really high. I'll go wherever you go, Lord. I will follow you wherever. Jesus said to him, I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow today until you have denied three times that you know me. Peter was pretty confident. Overconfident. Because there was an avenue that Satan would use. And he would end up denying the Lord three times. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12 says, therefore let him who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. Overconfidence can be our undoing. That's why you don't ever stray from the Word. You make sure that we understand what God has in store for us and for what God has said. Be what He wants us to be. The sixth thing is that wise people don't take unnecessary chances and experiment to see how close they can get to the precipice without falling off. In other words, don't get too close to the fire. You're going to be burned if you do. Wise people do not take unnecessary chances and experiment just to see how close we can get. Wise people don't do that. They take wise counsel. They learn from others. They learn from what God has said. In Genesis chapter 39, we all know the story about Joseph and about Potiphar's wife. We need to not place ourselves in situations that there's going to be problems and that we're going to be tempted. Joseph tried to do exactly what God wanted him to do. When Potiphar's wife tempted him, ultimately he ran. He told her, I can't do this. I can't sin against God. He ran. Do we run from temptation? Do we have the same approach to things that are questionable that God does? Do we stay away from the things that God has warned us about? You see, in this book of Proverbs, it talks about just about every aspect, every avenue of sin that Satan uses to get to us. Wise people don't take unnecessary chances. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22 says this, flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. Okay, he tells us first off to flee from youthful lusts. Run from it. Don't experiment with it, but run from it. Then he says, you need to pursue certain things, righteousness, faith, love, and peace. And not only do you pursue them, but you do it with those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. So there's three things he's telling us in this passage. First is you run from lust. You get as far away as you can. He tells us what to pursue. Secondly, righteousness, faith, and love, and peace. And then he says that you flee them and you pursue righteousness and peace and love with those who love the Lord. Do we do that? Do we associate with people who love the Lord? Do we run away from temptation and from lust? A seventh thing is wise people discipline their speech. Seventh. The wise people discipline their speech, and their speech instructs and it inspires. But they exercise discipline in what they say, in how they say it, and to whom they say it. Proverbs 16 and verse 23 says, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds persuasiveness to his lips, teaches his mouth. Chapter 10 and verse 19 says, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Do we? Are we impetuous? Do we say things sometimes without thinking? Are we unwise in how we express ourselves? The contrast to all of this really is found in Galatians chapter 5 when Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit. If the fruit of the Spirit governs our lips, then we will say the right thing. And it will be said to the right end. We are warned over in James chapter 3 about the tongue and about what it can do. In fact, he starts out that chapter and he warns us, James warns us and says, do not be wise and do not be, many of you, be teachers. In other words, don't all of you aspire to be teachers because, he says, you're going to receive a heavier judgment in what you say. Be wise in what you say. And he talks about the tongue and how although it's a small thing, yet it does great damage. And he mentions some small things. A match, a spark can start a small fire that can grow into a raging fire. A small rudder turns a giant ship. Our tongue, a small member, can turn us. We have to be careful what we say. He says the problem is that oftentimes the very thing that God gave us, with which we bless Him, we turn around and misuse it and we curse men who are made in the image of God. Be wise in what you say. He said it's hard to control. He said the tongue can no man tame. He's not saying don't try. He's saying it is difficult. And we need to understand that. We need to be careful what we say, how we say it. Wise people discipline their speech. Next, wise people are diligent in their work. Wise people are diligent in their work. Chapter 10, verses 4 and 5 says this, the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in the summer is a son who acts wisely. Acts wisely. Work. Thing that's interesting about work is it's the first thing that God ever commanded man to do. He placed him in the garden. He told him to tend it, to dress it, to work. It's something that God intends for us to do. Not be lazy and not be slothful, but to be diligent in our work. A wise person will do that. And then finally, wise people seek to influence others to trust the Lord. Wise people seek to influence others to trust the Lord. Proverbs 11 and verse 30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls. He who is wise wins souls. We can win souls by what we say, and we can win souls by what we do, how we act, what people see in us. And when they see the things that motivate us, and they see the joy that we have in living the way Christ would have us to live, it will move them to want to know more about that. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, do not fear from now on. He's talking to those that are following him, those apostles. From now on, you will be catching men instead of fish. I will make you fishers of men. And they were. And they went throughout the entire world, spreading the gospel. Chapter 3 and verse 35 of Proverbs says, "The wise will inherit honor, but fools display dishonor." Inherit honor. Because of what God has said and because how we are serving Him and what we are doing. Chapter 10 and verse 1 says, "A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother." A wise son makes a father glad. Verse 12, chapter 12 and verse 18 says, "The tongue of the wise brings healing." There are healing in the words that we have from God. If we would but talk to people about it and use it and understand that. In Proverbs 21, beginning in verse 20, says, "There is a precious treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man swallows it up. He who pursues righteousness and loyalty finds life, righteousness, and honor." Because what we are doing, we are taking God's word and we're seeking to influence others to live the way God would have us to live. Proverbs 24, verses 5 and 6 says, "A wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge increases power. For by wise guidance you will wage war, and in the abundance of counselors there is victory." We seek to influence people to trust the Lord. We want others to understand that there is victory in Jesus. That's where we find it. And that's where it is. The words that God has preserved for us are words that should be laid upon our hearts. Are words that ought to guide us in everything we do. And like we said at the very beginning, these words will make us wise unto salvation. That's what Timothy's mother and grandmother taught him. The words of salvation that will make him wise to that end. And it all hinged around the fact that Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. And that if we want to be wise, we must come to know Jesus. And live the way He would have us to live. He came. He died for us. He gave His life. God preserved the words of life that we find in His Word. The writer of the book of Proverbs tries in few words to teach us about life and about what is important and how wise people behave, what they do and what they say, how they live. And it is to keep us from the evil one. It's to help us so we don't have to fall into a pit in order to understand that I don't need to be here. Usually after we've made the mistake of going somewhere that we ought not to go, we realize after the fact, we realize, well, you know, that wasn't too wise. I shouldn't be here. But by then you've already made the choice and you're already in it. Why not listen to wise counsel first? Before you ever fall into the trap that Satan has laid for us. Flee youthful lust. Hate evil. Run from it. Fear the Lord. Live the way God would have us to live. Walk in the paths of righteousness. That's the only answer. And there is only one way to heaven. And that's through Jesus Christ. There's not a myriad of ways. Paul talks about the fact in Ephesians chapter 4. He says there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. There is one body, one church. There's not a myriad of churches, and you come along and say, okay, pick one. He says there's one. How do we know what that one is? Because we go to God's Word and we see what the Holy Spirit has revealed. And that's how we live. And that's how we know. Always turning to God for guidance. Do you want to be saved? Do you want to go to heaven and spend eternity with the Savior?
and with our Father, then you need to give your life to the Lord. You need to repent of the sins that you've committed. You need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You need to confess Him as Lord of your life. And then to be baptized into His name. And then walk with Him into eternity. You can do that. Or as a child of God, if you're struggling with things, you need us to pray with you or to pray for you. Won't you please come while we stand and sing?